This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele, a show that matches business mentees with exceptional mentors to provide the skills and knowledge to navigate the entrepreneurial journey. Beyond Mentorship is brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
A very good evening to you and welcome to Beyond Mentorship here at 101.9 High FM as well as 91.1. My name is Nimrod Mbele and I'm delighted to share this space and time with you as we continue to share technical insights which are meant to enhance entrepreneurial mindset. Meanwhile, I hope you had I'm looking forward to a fantastic holiday which is well deserved. Please drive safely to your respective destination. Anyway, before we get to a gist of our conversation, I want to thank Michael McKenna and his team for they have done a fantastic work. Meanwhile, I also want to express my appreciation to Craig Goodthrie, who is the controller of the show, as well as Harry Seleke, who is the producer of the show. Moving along swiftly, last week I had a very interesting conversation with Theo van Zyl, who is the head of Vox Wireless. We heard how crucial for business owners needed to provide reliable Wi-Fi experience for their customers or clients, considering the fact that it is definitely important to have a seamless connectivity given the digital age that we find ourselves in. We also heard from him that some of the potential drawbacks for business that lack optimal Wi-Fi capabilities, particularly concerning digital savvy consumers who may face issues like connection disruptions or slow connectivity at work. Moving along swiftly, in today's episode, we put in a spotlight on yet another critical important point which adversely affects businesses for obvious reasons, such as we're talking here lack of capital, access to research on intellectual property or trademarks. We've seen or heard over the years that how intellectual property, the entrepreneur that failed to safeguard their property, their IP, found themselves wanting because if you're not smart enough, somebody will take it and use it for his own personal gains. So we'll hear from my guest tonight on how to navigate those murky waters. And we know for the fact that every entrepreneur who have managed to build a successful business today had a particular approach to safeguarding their IP. Any big brands that you can think of today had a similar approach. I mean, when you think of Microsoft, you think of Dell, you're thinking of McDonald's, KFC, Coca-Cola, and you name it. You know, all these companies had to protect their intellectual property. So it is important that a would-be entrepreneur who has managed to craft a product that is definitely needed by the market, we need to get from our attorney here who will give us insights on what are the strategic things that one needs to do step by step to a point where their IP is protected. We'll be joined by Temugule Ganga, who is the associate attorney at Spoon Fisher, and he's responsible for trademark prosecution and enforcement. On that note, I urge you to weigh in on our conversation as this topic is critical for entrepreneurs who must protect their IP rights. As a norm, please weigh in. Our SMS line is 3459. Telegram is 061-895-1019. And of course, your thoughts and views are most welcome via my Twitter handle, or excellent in this particular instance, which is at Dr. Mbele. Without any waste of time, let me bring in Temugule, and I appreciate your time for gracing Beyond Mentorship with your presence, sir.
Good evening, Dr. Mbele, and good evening to our listeners. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm very excited to be part of the show, and I'm especially excited to be discussing SMEs and how they can utilize intellectual property rights to actually further their business interest and make an impact in the market.
I couldn't agree with you more. We're going to have to pay our bills before we get to the gist of highly anticipated conversations with Temugule.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. We have just literally started our first dating conversation. I'm joined by Temugule Ganga, who is an associate attorney at Spoon Fisher, and he'll give us insights on how to protect your trademark via the intellectual property. As we proceed, can you give us a sense as to what does the law say, what does the law encompasses and its relevance to protecting innovations, brand identity and creative works, which is something that is very important?
Yes. So before diving into that, I would just like to give the listeners a brief introduction into what intellectual property is. So basically, intellectual property is a term, is an umbrella term that protects the intangible assets of businesses. In this regard, we're looking at the creations of the mind for a company, in this regard, SMEs. So under intellectual property, we have patents which protect the ideas in the industrialized, realized form. So here we're looking at the protection of new products, new processes, and new uses of products, basically. And we have the Patent Act that is enacted in South Africa that regulates this. We also have registered designs which protect the outward appearance of a product. We have trademarks which protect the branding of a company. And basically that's regulated by the Trademarks Act. We then have copyright protection, which protects the artistic work. So we're looking at like the paintings, literal work. We look at musical work, which is protected by the Copyrights Act in South Africa. So intellectual property is a broad term, and these specific rights that I've mentioned are the key rights that most SMEs or most businesses look at when actually starting out their business. And it's very important to protect these four aspects: patent, registered design, trademarks, and copyright. So once we have that idea, and once we understand what intellectual property is, that's when companies can actually understand how it protects innovation, brand identity, and creative works. In this regard, like as I've already mentioned right now to the listeners right now, patents seek to protect the inventions or the product, how it's manufactured and all of that. So the underlying invention of a product, like the underlying mechanism that makes that product work. So how that protects innovation is that if you have a patent registered in South Africa, you can prevent others actually from exploiting your new invention or this new technology that you've come up with. So this encourages innovation by ensuring that inventors can actually profit from their creations without the fear that other people in the public space will actually steal their idea or copy their idea.
If I can interject,
to make a profit.
If I can interject,
yes.
Thanks for that heads up. I mean, it's common cause that it is important for an entrepreneur to register a particular product, because if you can't register and protect it, you are likely to lose in the long run. How knowledgeable small businesses out there around the importance of trademark, importance of property rights or knowledge of property rights to safeguard their intangible assets, as you've correctly put it out?
Oh, sorry, can you just repeat that actually?
How knowledgeable are ordinary folks? I'm a small businessman, you know, who is, say for an example, I'm in a digital space, and I've got this beautiful design, which if it's properly marketed would definitely make me money. But how would I go about, first of all, how do I go about making sure that I register that particular product such that nobody can take it? Because we can't assume that when you have got something, it is yours and yours only. You know, to your point earlier, that it's easy for anybody to steal your IP.
Yes. Okay, so there's different processes for the different types of rights that I've touched on. So the main rights or that most people actually seek to protect is a trademark. So when I'm talking about a trademark, I'm referring to the branding of a company. So we're looking at your company name, your logo, the slogans that you use. So usually we advise our clients, first and foremost, we advise our clients to actually conduct a search to determine whether a trademark is available for use or registration. So basically there, we have what is known as the trademarks registry, and trademarks are registered at CIPC. So basically what we would do is that we'd run a search and determine whether anyone is using the trademark in South Africa or not. If no one is using the trademark in South Africa, so no one has filed a trademark application or they're using the trademark in South Africa, we'll proceed to file the application. So you would need to contact a trademark attorney, or alternatively, you can actually do it yourself as a small company. So you can go on CIPC and basically go onto the website for the trademarks registry and follow the steps on the website on how to register your trademark. So the important thing when it comes to trademarks is that most companies, and I understand in marketing, you want to trademark something that's trending, or you want to trademark a mark or a slogan that's trending at the time, which can draw consumers. The important thing about trademarks is that when registering a trademark, you need to file something or try to protect something that distinguishes your goods from the other goods of people trading within the same industry. So for instance, you can't trademark the word apples when you're selling apples, but you'd have to trademark a name. For instance, I would trademark Thembukuhle's apples, because Thembukuhle doesn't describe what I'm selling. So once you have made that decision, and once you've developed a trademark that is strong and it doesn't describe what you're doing, but at the same time identifies your company or your business, then you'll file that trademark with the trademark office. And basically, if you were to file through us or through any IP firm, intellectual property firm, then basically they would file the trademark for you. The trademarks office would examine the trademark. So just examining it to see whether it meets the requirements of a trademark found in the act. So does it distinguish your goods? Can it serve as a trademark? Does it not violate any laws in the country in terms of, does it go against the values of a community? Or yep. Basically, there's just a set number of grounds in the act that are found whereby the trademark office will examine the trademark. So once the trademark is examined, basically from then, it'll be guided to acceptance, and then it will be registered, to put it in simple terms. Okay. So it's a fairly straightforward process, but what people should remember is that with trademarks, they have to be renewed every 10 years.
Interesting.
And so forth.
Interesting point. I just want to look at the asset value. Say, for an example, you have registered, you've got your own trademark, and you've gone to market.
Yes.
And somewhere along the way, somebody decides to use the same trademark, and obviously stealing your IP. What legal recourse do I have once I've realized that I have trademarked this particular product? And suddenly, along the way, I've seen somebody using it, and this particular individual is creaming it. He's making lots of money at the back of my intellectual property. While you're still preparing your response, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back to Beyond Mentorship. Nimrod Mbele here. I am joined by Thembukuhle Danga, who is an associate attorney at Spoor & Fisher. He deals with trademark prosecution and enforcement. Before we went to that break, I just wanted to know from him, because we've had so many instances in the past whereby a particular brand or a particular logo would have been used or misabused by someone else. The question for me is, along the way, you establish that your brand has been stolen, your IP has been stolen. What is my legal recourse, particularly in instances where a person who abused or who stole my IP is making good money? Do I have a claim towards that? And if I have a claim, what does it mean?
Okay, so that is a very good question, Dr. Mbele. And this is the one question that I get a lot. So a lot of people come to our firm and ask for advice. They've just become aware that someone is using a similar mark or the same mark in relation to the same goods. So basically, what I would like to start with here is that in South Africa, we are what we call a common law country. So basically, even if you don't have a trademark registered in South Africa, you can still sue someone who's using your trademark. So in essence, if you can prove that you have been using a trademark for a while, and that trademark is associated with your company, then you can sue someone for trademark infringement. And with that, you can sue them relying on passing off, and you can sue them for damages. But it's typically easier to rely on a registered trademark, and this is why we recommend that people register trademarks. So if you have a registered trademark, you can actually apply to the High Court to sue someone for trademark infringement and claim for damages. And basically, the damages that you'd be claiming for is for the loss of sale to that person using your trademark, or your competitor using your trademark. You can also sue them for injury that you have suffered due to that person using that trademark, and if they've been selling products that are inferior to the products that you use. You can also sue them for loss of sales. In this regard, the sales that you would have actually, like the customers that you would have attracted to your company because of this confusion that has arisen from someone using your trademark.
I think it's, you know, the gist of what you're saying is that there are mechanisms that one can use or by which is available by law.
There are
recourse that,
yes.
You know, but here's the thing, while we're still there, obviously these things take time, they take money, and sometimes people with money would obviously drag these cases in perpetuity. And we know in this country we have had instances where some guy is about to be paid billions of rands because of a particular brand, and it dragged a long time. So which means prevention is better than cure. It is important for for entrepreneurs to know and anticipate these kind of issues. Your take on that?
Yes, so what you're saying is true. Not prevention is better than cure, and not everyone has an appetite to actually go to the courts and pay a lot of money to actually enforce their rights. So it's advisable that a person actually register their trademark in South Africa, because it's easier to prove that you own the trademark when it's registered, when you can actually just refer to the trademark's registry or to CIPC to show that you have a trademark certificate showing that you are the registered proprietor or registered owner of this trademark. So what's advisable, and in order to avoid instances where you now have to go to court and prove that you have a reputation in a trademark or that you own a trademark, it's really advisable that, yes, you do register a trademark before you even start using it. So in this regard, like, once you filed an application, your rights will actually date back to when you filed an application with CIPC. So there is actual physical evidence that you know you are the person that is the owner of this trademark once it's proceeded to registration, and that your rights date back to let's say, for instance, you filed the trademark in 2010 and it proceeded to registration in 2012. You can show that you've been using this mark since, that's evidence of the fact that you've been using the mark trademark since 2010. And you can deter people from using your trademark by sending letters of demands if you have a registered trademark, to just show that this is what I own, and because I own this trademark and you are using my trademark, you should stop, otherwise I'll have to take legal action.
But here's the thing, the assumption here we're making is that one would have traded. What happened instances where, you know, somebody took my trademark but have not commercialized it, I've not went out, and I can't claim any loss, I can't sue for any loss, because it's just a name, just a brand that just sit there. So how different is it from somebody who has already been trading and who suffered a loss of sales, who suffered a loss of income, compared to a person who have just registered the trademark, put it there, and 5 years down the line realize this trademark is working? How is it different? How is that issue being dealt with? Is it the same process? Obviously, it's your product because you've got a certificate to prove that it is yours, but you've not been trading. What will be the asset value? Surely, if I take your trademark and use it to my benefit, and I'm making money.
Yes.
You come to me after 5 years, so this is my trademark here. It is your trademark. I've used it, but you were not using it. What is it that you're entitled to, legally speaking?
So, in that regard, in our Act, actually, you can't register a trademark if you don't have the intention to use that trademark for commercial use. So, basically, if someone registers a trademark and has no intention of using it for commercial use and has not used it 5 years,
not so much
since the trade.
I mean, so not so much, okay, that you have no intentions, because surely when you establish something, you've got intention. Perhaps maybe you were not ready, okay, to roll it out. You were not ready for whatever reasons, and you,
okay,
yeah, and somebody uses it and is making money. What would be the value of my trademark in this particular instance?
So if I'm understanding you correctly, we're looking at someone here who has registered a trademark but has not used it for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else decides to use the same trademark or similar trademark.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person who has a registered trademark actually wants to stop the person that's actually using the trademark,
mm-hmm,
from using. Basically, they just want to exercise their rights. So in that circumstance, what I would say is this. So if you have a registered trademark in South Africa and you have not used it in the last 5 years since the trademark has proceeded to registration, that trademark registration becomes vulnerable in South Africa to cancellation. So basically what I mean with that is that if you haven't been using a trademark for 5 years since it's been registered, and then all of a sudden someone else starts using an identical trademark in South Africa, that person can rely on the defense that you have not been using that trademark for commercial use for the past 5 years. So in essence, there wouldn't be any confusion in the marketplace.
So the rule of the thumb is, once you've established it, try and create
yes,
a profile such that the next person able to see the extent to which you've been able to use it, because there lies in the currency of your trademark, because you can quantify your brand, you can quantify your trademark as, because I've been operating, personally, I'm not to be operating at the level that the next person would have operated, but there's some activities that was taking place which gives me the right to claim or to sue the person who has taken my trademark. That's correct, right?
Yes, so in essence, if you have a trademark registered, you have to use the trademark to keep those rights enforced in South Africa.
Okay. So, as we follow up on this very question, it is very clear that a trademark is an asset which gives your company a bit of a balance sheet. So it is important that you protect it. It is important that you live off it, if you may. So what are some of the significant advantages of SMMEs in creating a competitive edge on the basis of their trademark?
So there's one misconception in IP law that intellectual property rights, especially trademarks, are for large corporations, basically. However, what you have to understand, first of all, is that SMEs often rely on their innovation, brand identity, and their creative works to compete in the market. So it's very important that they protect that, because that's one of the key things that investors look at. So they look at if you have your house in order in terms of intellectual property, because if someone has the intellectual property in order, it's easier for investors to invest in that. So SMEs should look at trademarks, especially in getting them registered, in that perspective. That's one of the key factors that investors will look at. But besides that, if you have a trademark registered, you can actually license that trademark to other people to actually take your brand further. And by licensing your trademark, you're making money out of people using your brand. So you can establish other outlets across South Africa using that brand. You can also use your trademark actually as collateral. In this regard, you can use it as security to get loans.
Because it is an asset. I think I do like the point where you're saying my IP, I can actually license it to the next person because yes, it's an asset, and I can,
yes,
also
it is an asset.
I can even go to the bank to put it as surety because it has a particular value.
Yes.
Talking of value, how do we? I'm sure there are, lawyers have got a way of calculating the value of a brand, and based on maturity, based on how long it has been in existence, and so on and so forth. So, if you want to put something as a collateral, the assumption that you are making is that it costs X, and the business that I want to buy is cost Y. So therefore, I can only pay the difference of what the business costs because I'm using my IP as a collateral. Would that be a fair assessment to put it like that?
It would be a fair assessment, but it's not just limited to that. So since it's an intangible asset, there's a lot of considerations involved, but those would be one of the things that you'd be looking at.
Okay, that's interesting observation indeed. Do give us your thoughts. I'm joined by Temogutle Danga, who's an associate attorney at Spohr & Fisher, and he's giving us interesting observation insights on how to navigate the IP world, because it has been established, as part of our conversation, that your trademark, your copyrights, your patents are your intangible assets that needs to be registered and protected, and to a point where you are able to leverage off, when you want to increase your value. We're going to take a break and come back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. If you've just joined us, I'm joined by Temogutle Danga, who's an associate attorney at Spohr & Fisher, and he gives us ins and outs of the trademark prosecution and enforcement. Before we enter the break, or perhaps maybe I will just also add you, because this is something that most of us have gone through or are struggling with. Our SMS line is 34519, the Telegram is 061-895, and of course, your views and thoughts are welcome by my Twitter handle. Tell us what you think. What has been your experience? How did you navigate that? Have you know somebody, or do you know somebody that whose IP was siphoned? And what sort of lessons did you learn from that particular issue? And we've heard from Temukuhle that the law will obviously be on your side in an event that your IP has been stolen. He articulated the processes that you need to follow to try and claim or claw back what is rightfully yours. He also gave us a very good instance of that the IP, it's not necessarily protection of IP, it's not a forte of big businesses. As a matter of fact, on the contrary, it's something that small businesses must take very seriously and try and protect, you know, whether it is your logo, whether it's your patent, and all these things have a particular value at some point, which you and only you can protect. As we proceed, he also gave us a sense of how some of the misconceptions about IP, and those misconceptions are quite important, because they begin to shape our thinking in terms of what is it that we need to do. As we proceed, Tomkosi, can you clarify that the IP protections are accessible? I'm assuming they're accessible and can be tailored to fit the needs of the resources of SMB. Your take on that?
Yes, so a lot of people and a lot of small companies think that acquiring intellectual property or protecting your intellectual property is quite costly and expensive. And it can be, but and the approach that a company should take is that not one shoe will fit everyone. So basically, you have to tailor the intellectual property that you seek to protect based on the company's needs. So with this, I mean this. So let's say you are selling a product which someone can reverse engineer. And by that, I mean that someone can actually take that product apart and rebuild it again. So if you want to take that kind of product into the market, you're trying to protect the product itself. So it's a good idea for the company, if it's a new invention, it's a new product that hasn't been seen before, it's a good idea to actually get a patent for that product. So you don't have to now look at trademarks, and you can, but the first thing that you have to look for and the most important thing for you is to protect the underlying invention. So let's say you're selling a product or a commodity and that product is linked to your brand and it's associated with your company. It's a very good idea then to file for a trademark and get a trademark registered, because the core of your industry or how you make money is based on the branding of the company. If, for instance, you're selling a product and the most important feature of that product is the outward appearance of that product, then it's also a good idea to actually invest in protecting your trademarks or designs. In this instance, you'd be protecting the design of the product, and you'd be stopping others from actually using or copying that design. So basically, sometimes intellectual property can be a bit expensive, but the key is to do everything bit by bit and look at what's most important for your company at that time and then grow from that.
It is interesting that you raise the issue of designs. Let's look at design in the context of automobile. There's so many cars whose design look pretty much the same, and yes. what would have accounted for that? Because other than just the brand, the logo, the look and feel, the height, everything is exactly the same. What would you consider that as being? Would that be an infringement? And if it's an infringement, what are the legal recourse of that particular owner of the design? We've seen in cars. I mean, some of the cars that come from China, they look pretty much the same as cars from Europe. There's just small changes that they've made, but the look and feel is pretty much the same from a design point of view. What's your take on that?
So it's important to understand that with designs, there's two routes that an owner can actually take in protecting the shape of something. So you can, for instance, file a trademark, right? And in filing a trademark, you can file a trademark for the shape, shape of the car, shape of a bottle, and so forth. And you protect that shape. So in, you can also take a route of actually protecting the design of something using designs. So there's trademark protection and design protection. And both these types of protections have different consequences. So trademarks can exist in perpetuity. So basically, as I said before, you have to renew a trademark every 10 years. So a trademark can exist for a very long time, provided that you renew the trademark every year. So you can actually have a monopoly over a shape if that trademark is registered for hundreds of years, provided you renew the trademark all the time. But other companies take a different route and actually register a design for a trademark. So basically an aesthetic design, protecting the outward appearance of that product. And in this case, we're looking at cars. Now, the consequence of registering a design in South Africa is that after 10 years, I don't want to say you actually lose protection. So you are granted a limited monopoly just for 10 years. So if you have a registered design, you're granted a limited monopoly for just 10 years. So what happens in most cases is that that monopoly for a design runs out, which means that now that particular shape is free for others to use within the market space. But besides that, another aspect when it comes to design is that it requires what we call absolute novelty. So basically, in order to monopolize a design for a car, that means that that shape should have never existed anywhere in the world, which is something very hard to develop, basically.
Interesting, because the point that you raise about the consequence of a design, saying you'll be entitled to have the monopoly over 10 years, but beyond a particular timeline, which is 10 years, anybody can modify your design. They may not take it as is, but they can steal 80% of it and just do 10% of that particular design. Is this where we're going? Could this explain why so many cars look the same? So many bottles look the same. So many packaging look the same. Could that be an explanation as that you know, those designs have lapsed, or they've reached maturity stage to a point where anybody can you know, begin to fiddle with them?
Yes, so from a design aspect, that could be the case. But from a trademark aspect, it could be that the design is actually just common in the marketplace. So there's a lot of manufacturers actually using that shape, which means the shape has become what we coin generic, so common in the industry. And the consequence of that is that no single party can monopolize that shape now. So what happens is that sometimes a shape becomes so popular and everyone starts jumping on and starts using that particular shape. So if, for instance, you own a trademark registration for that particular shape and you don't enforce that right, your trademark becomes diluted and basically just becomes generic. And then it becomes difficult for you to enforce your rights if there's so many different parties or entities in that particular industry that actually use that shape.
Very interesting.
So that could be, yes, sorry?
Very, very, very interesting observations and very tricky. But one gets a sense that the plethora of similar item that you see on the street as a result of perhaps maybe lack of enforcement, or the fact that they have along the way they have lost the originality and the novelty part, it's obviously not there. Hence there are a lot of stuff that you see that looks common across the market. Would that be a correct assessment?
Yes, so that would be a correct assessment. And just from a trademark perspective, this is why we always encourage clients with a trademark registration to enforce their rights if someone is using a similar trademark or an identical trademark, especially if you have a shape trademark registration which is unique. because once it becomes too popular and every other entity is using a similar shape and you don't enforce your rights, it's going to be very hard for you to enforce your rights in future.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break and come back. Before we come back, I want us to think a little bit more on the protection and how does the law, or how will the law enable a small man who feels vulnerable that his or her IP has been taken by someone else, particularly by the so-called big boys and girls. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
We'll come back with gravitating towards the end of a very interesting show. I'm joined by Temegutle Danga, who is the associate attorney at Spoor & Fisher. He's giving us a very interesting insight on how one can navigate a very complex world of trademark and prosecution and enforcement. Your views and thoughts are most welcome. Please weigh in. Our SMS line is 34419. The telegram is 061-895-1009. And of course, your thoughts and views are most welcome via my ex-handle, which is Dr. Mbele. We pretty much got a sense of where we are at and how valuable IP is. And the law, obviously being the arbiter, the final arbiter, comes quite handy, particularly to a small man who may feel vulnerable. Take us through explain to us how can the law protect the SMME from unfair competition on issues such as, you know, because everybody's, you know, doing copycats, everybody's infringing, and to a point where they undermine innovation and the market share of that particular individual.
So basically, the first way that the law protects SMEs is by making available mechanisms, our courts in this instance, where you can actually take someone to court if they're using or infringing on your trademark. The key here for small businesses, though, is to actually register your trademark. Register your trademark. Because it's easier to actually rely on a registered trademark to enforce your rights. It's harder to prove that you have a reputation in a trademark than to actually prove that you have a registered trademark, because all you have to produce if you have a registered trademark is a certificate. But if you're relying on the reputation you have in the trademark, you now have to produce sale figures. Advertising costs, like how much you spend on your advertising and how much you've advertised in the country to show that there's a reputation of the trademark, which makes it very costly for SMEs. So my best advice actually is that small companies to medium-sized companies should actually register their trademarks, because it makes it easier in the long run to enforce your rights. And that's the mechanism that the law provides for you to actually, like, the law, when people say that everyone is equal before the law, this is a classical example, because here it doesn't matter if you have a registered trademark and someone is using an identical trademark, it doesn't matter how big the company is, your rights come from legislation, so you can actually enforce those rights easier. So basically, the gist is that the main mechanism that the law provides is legislation, which allows for you to sue someone based on trademark infringement if they're using an identical or similar mark and they're benefiting from your goodwill.
Out of curiosity, I'm sure you must have picked up or heard a number of success cases. What would you say the success cases are in instances where trademarks have been infringed?
So this actually depends. So I'm going to break it down to the core, the basics, basically. So when to rely on trademark infringement, first of all, you have to show that the trademarks are identical or similar. And how we determine that in trademark law is that we look at the phonetical similarities, how trademarks sound. We look at the visual similarities, how trademarks look. Do they look the same? And conceptual similarities. In essence, do the trademarks convey the same idea? We then have what is known as the NIST classification system. So basically, you can't file a trademark, for instance, for food, and then expect to have rights all across the board, like for cars. So you want to prevent other people using a similar identical trademark when they're selling cars. It doesn't work like that. So we have a classification system whereby when you're filing a trademark, you have to file it in a specific class. So covering foods or covering cars or covering clothing. So the success rate is higher where someone is using a similar mark for similar goods, because there it's easy to prove confusion. The essence of trademark law is that someone is using a trademark that is similar to yours for similar the same goods or services, and that use will result in confusion. So where we're dealing with the same mark, same goods, there's a higher success rate. The problem starts when someone is using a trademark which is not identical to the goods or services that you provide, but is in a similar industry. So here we're looking at, for instance, clothing and cosmetic products. They're different in nature, but similar in a sense that they're sold in the same stores, the same channel of trade, and they're transferred in the same way. So basically, these goods are similar to one another. So there, the success rate varies based on how much of a reputation you have in your trademark.
Well, I suppose it makes sense, because when you're saying to us, the success rate depends mainly if the product that had been trademarked falls within a particular classification or a particular subsector. If, say, you have trademarked something in agriculture, someone else is doing it in manufacturing, or someone is in automation. So it sort of diffuses the authenticity of your claim, because it has been replicated in a different sector. Am I correct?
Yes, but that also varies. So we do have very well-known trademarks, and sometimes the use of that trademark can dilute the brand, that company's brand. So even though it's used in relation to different goods or services, you can argue that the use of that similar trademark dilutes your brand, basically. So they also, in order to succeed on relying on this kind of argument, you'd actually have to show that your trademark is well known in South Africa, because trademarks are territorial, and that the use of that trademark for those goods or services, those different goods or services, would consumers would draw some kind of association with your brand.
Unfortunately,
but those are rare cases.
Unfortunately, Tembukuhle, we're going to leave it here. It has been absolutely beautiful. Thanks for your input, your insights, which have sharpened the thoughts of the listeners on how best to navigate this very murky world of intellectual property rights and trademarks, and where to go in an event that they feel that their product has been stolen or being misused. We thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It was great. Thank you.
You're most welcome. That was Tembukuhle Dunga, who is an associate attorney at Spoor & Fisher, and giving us really interesting insights around the misconception around the intellectual property, how it applies to SMEs, and the essence of IP as an asset, which you need to protect. If you have registered your IP and you've renewed it, you stand a good chance of clawing from a company that took from you Unfortunately, we're going to have to levitate. It's been absolutely beautiful. I certainly hope that you have benefited as much as we all did around this particular issue, which is very, very important. Let's do this again next week. It has been absolutely beautiful. For those that are traveling around the world or around the provinces, do drive safely. And remember, it does not cost anything to be kind. Be kind, and let's rekindle again next week. Shalom.